we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everyone, to Redemption Church. We're a mighty church in Plano, Texas. Yeah, we are. Just a few miles north of Dallas, for anybody watching, listening online, we're just a few miles north of Dallas. My name's Chris Fluitt, and I'm bringing you a brand new sermon series about changing the world. Raise your hand if you think the world needs to change. My goodness, absolutely. When you just hear that in Sutherland, Texas, a terrible shooting happened at a church, oh my goodness, the world needs to change. And when you hear about buses, like a truck running through pedestrians in New York City, my goodness, the world needs to change. When people are hungry and dying, when people are lost and killing themselves, man, the world is so in need of change. So is maybe there's something you want to change in the world? I want you to pull out your smartphone. Everyone pull out your smartphone. I want to remind you about our anonymous text line. That's 214-856-0550. Number one, if you don't have this number saved in your phone, go ahead and save it in your phone. 214-856-0550. What would you like to see change in the world? And if you want to be funny, please. I could use a lighthearted joke, but if you want to be absolutely serious, that is okay too. If you could change something in this world, what would it be? Please text us in. I can't wait to read what's on your heart. I believe everyone in the world would like to change the world. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. You would like to see some things change. I'm telling you that Islamics, people that are of the Islam belief system, Judaism, Christianity, even atheism, any of these belief systems, they would all like to see the world change. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Even if we disagree on how to best change the world, we could at the very least agree that we have a desire to see the world changed. Everyone has this desire in them. And given all our differences, and people are real different, aren't they?
Yeah.
Given all our differences, this similarity is striking. We don't see animals trying to change the world. Do you? You don't see monkeys, dolphins, lions. I've never seen them protest injustice. Have you?
No.
I've never seen them try to feed the hungry or stop the ongoing abuse of creatures around them. No, I've never seen animals rise up like that. I want to tell you real quick that this desire within us to change the world might be something different, something more than just an evolutionary progress.
All right.
You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
That maybe there is something or someone somewhere that has put inside of you the desire to see the world change. Can you get with that? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Does that make sense? Oh, it better make sense. Humanity has this purpose inside us to change the world. In your Bible, God calls men and women to go change the world. Jesus said it in Mark 16:15. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That men and women are called to go, and go where?
Into
all the world. We are called to go into this world and change it through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right.
Don't try to change it other ways. Change it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to lay that there. All right. God has placed an anointed purpose upon you to proclaim the good news of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his second coming.
Yeah.
He to proclaim good news. Also to proclaim freedom to people that are bound. Also to bring healing to those that are broken. These are the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. What is on him to do this? The Spirit of the Lord. God's Spirit is given to you to empower you to change the world.
Amen. All right.
Do you understand this? I need everybody to be awake today.
Yeah.
okay? Let's turn on the lights if it's too comfortable in here. Let's turn up the lights, okay, in this place. God has given you the Spirit not so you feel good about yourself. Although you will feel better about yourself. No, he's given you the Spirit not to just give you goosebumps. He's given you the Spirit so that you can go into the world, so that you can go set people free, so you can go see people healed, so you can go have revival in your homes. Amen. So people that are blind are completely set free and recovered. That's what he's done. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You ought to know this verse. If you don't know this verse, you need to get your Bible and underline it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'm looking at some girls over here. We just got them Bibles. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You help them find Acts right there, all right? Acts 1 and 8. Read it with me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All right. I want to tell you that God's Spirit has enough power to carry you to the ends of the earth. Let's back up. Don't you think that His Spirit is enough to carry you across the street to your neighbor's house? We went trick-or-treating this last week. I went and knocked on someone's door, our neighbor's house, and the person opened up to me how their husband just passed away 10 days ago. Don't you think the Spirit would have me do something right there in that moment? Right there on Halloween night, we prayed together. All these people are coming up for candy. We just prayed together in that place. Isn't that awesome? What did that? The Spirit of the Lord has given me power. And it's power enough to go walk across the street. It's power enough to go walk across the room so somebody's hurting. It is power enough to stop your car, get out, help someone change your tire. It's power enough for you to see a homeless person, reach into your wallet and feed them. It's power enough to take you anywhere to the ends of the earth. That's Spirit power. I'm telling you, we need churches that are filled with that Spirit power. In Acts chapter 17, men who were stirring up trouble against the Apostle Paul and the rest of the church in Thessalonica, they started a riot. And they started shouting in the streets that these Christians had turned the world upside down. They weren't wrong. They weren't wrong. Because Christianity has a power in it to completely turn the world upside down. To completely bring change to every situation. That's in Acts chapter 17. I'm telling you, Redemption Church, we are here to turn the world upside down. Completely change it. Completely. Somebody say, change the world. It sounds like the church of Jesus was changing the world, doesn't it? In Acts chapter 17, the church of Jesus should still be changing the world. Does anybody believe that we are called to turn the world upside down today?
Yeah.
Do you understand that God has called you and He has purposed you and He has empowered you and has sent you to change the world? Do you believe that? Called you, purposed you, empowered you, and sent you. But before you can change the world, you need to change your world. Does that make sense? You following me? Let me tell you, you're getting it wrong if you hear this sermon today and go, oh, I'm called to change the world. I'm headed to Kathmandu, Nepal. Eventually, God might be calling you there. But first, He's going to call you to your home. And He's going to call you to your neighborhood. And He's going to call you to your job. And He's going to call you to where you are right now. Before you can change the world, you have to change your world. And there is something wrong if you set out to change the world without changing your world right where you are. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Do you understand that God has called you? Do you get it? We can't change the world without first changing ourselves and bringing change within our realm of influence. You've got a realm of influence. We're going to talk about it today. Wherever that realm of influence is, you need to bring change into it. We must change our world. Church, I want us to realize that when we worship, it's an opportunity to change our world.
Yes. All right. Yes. Amen.
These two believe it. Everybody nod, at least if you believe that. Oh, no, no, it's just tradition. We just go, no, tradition like that doesn't change anything. But when you worship God with your heart and you sing your praise to Him and you look for God and you seek Him, it changes things. It changes the room and it changes your life. It changes your world. Thank you. And when we receive the Word of God, we don't just come up here and preach a sermon because, well, we need to. We preach a sermon because it's an opportunity to bring change. And the reason we talk to God is it's because it's an opportunity for change. That's why we do those three things. In other words, you should change today. You should change today. The old Hebrews were commanded by God to go into the temple. They'd go to church, in other words. They'd go to God's presence, and they would gather there. And then they were instructed to not return the same way they went. So if they came in through this gate, they would need to leave out another gate. Because there's something about it. A believer is not supposed to come into God's presence and stay the same. You're not supposed to leave the same way you came today. God wants you to change today. He wants you to change. Are you willing to change? Most people hate to hear about change, except every 4 years they like a politician that talks about it, but they don't like to really see change in their life. They like to see other people change. But I want to tell you today, we need to grab on to change, because we cannot change this world until we bring change into ourselves. Before you can change the world, you got to change your world. We need to bring change into our sphere of influence. Our corner of the world is where we should start. Remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said beginning in Jerusalem. Where were they standing when Jesus told them these words? Jerusalem. And it said in Jerusalem and Judea, that's an outward area, and Samaria, that's a further outward area, and then the uttermost parts of the world. God wants you to start right at home, right where you are, right now in your sphere of influence. He's not going to give you a bigger sphere of influence until you start presenting Jesus inside your current sphere of influence. We need change to come right where we live and how we live. All that needs to change. Say these words with me. Change your domain.
Change your domain.
This is not a GoDaddy.com commercial or anything. Not that kind of domain. A domain is a territory that is ruled by an authority. A domain is a territory that is ruled by an authority. Before you can change the entire world, you must first change the domain that you have authority over. You have a domain. You have a sphere of influence. Nod if you believe that in this house. All right, good. Everyone has a domain. I don't think we understand our influence in the world. I don't. Leadership author John C. Maxwell writes about the influence one life has on the world. And he cites some data from sociologists that tell us that even the shyest introvert, raise your hand real quick if you're an introvert. If you're really an introvert, you didn't raise your hand. You're like, oh, that's just too much, right? All right. Even the shyest introvert will influence 10,000 people over the course of their life. How about that? Even the shyest person, it could be that they mention, hey, I like that restaurant, like in a very short voice. It might be that they wear some clothes and people notice that, or people notice what they're doing in life. But even the shyest person that is trying not to influence anybody, that's trying not to speak up, that's trying to go unnoticed, even that person will influence over 10,000 people in their lifetime. 10,000 people, is that a lot? Oh, you bet that's a lot. The very people who attempt to have zero interaction and influence will influence many many people. Do you understand the amount of influence you have around you? Young kids, do you understand the kind of influence that you have in your school? You might feel like nobody's watching you. The truth is, everybody is watching you. You might be thinking nobody's paying any attention to me on my job. That is not true. Everybody notices your attitude. Everybody notices your spirit. Everybody notices these teams, these things. Oh, I just don't know if anybody notices this church and what we're doing. You shut your mouth, because they absolutely do notice. They drive by all the time and they call us for help. They drive by all the time and say, I'm going to come there. There were probably 30 people who meant to be here today. It was the devil that kept them from it, or some bad decision. But let me tell you, we are influential. You have to understand your level of influence in your domain is bigger than you think it is. It is impossible to not be an influence in the world, because God has called each of us to change the world. It's impossible for you to not be an influence. So why don't you embrace that and be an influence? Our lives shape the people around us in profound ways. Whether we intend to or not, we affect others through our actions, our words, or our influence. You are a person of influence. Can you look at somebody, point at them in the eyes, and say, you are an influence? You are a person of influence. Yes, you are. Called by God. Point at him. Say this. Called by God to change the world. Called by God to change the world. I'm not going to stand for anybody talking bad about you. You're called by God to change the world. Next time somebody bullies you in school, you just know your pastor thinks that you hung the moon and that you are called by God to do amazing things. You hear me? The question is not, do we have influence? The question is, what level of influence will we have? What will be the reach of our influence? Make the decision to be an influence today. Grab a hold of that idea. Enlarge your sphere of influence. If somebody that's not even trying can influence 10,000 people, what could somebody that is trying, that has a heart to change the world, and has the power of the Holy Ghost living inside them, what could they do? What could they do? Why don't you decide, I'm going to enlarge my territory today. I'm going to enlarge my domain and my sphere of influence. Change your world and you'll change the world. Make the effort to gain influence and then exercise that influence for good. Can I talk to you about the king's domain? I talked about changing your domain. Now I want to talk about the king's domain. A kingdom is the domain of a king. That's what a kingdom is. Did Jesus talk to us about the kingdom? Yes. That's it. The kingdom of God is everywhere he rules and reigns. Now the truth is, God's power and authority fills the whole earth. The Bible says that he holds all things together. He is everywhere. But his kingdom is where his influence is in people, and where he is actively ruling and reigning in the hearts, minds, words, and actions of people. That's where his kingdom is. That's why it's so important that you worship. That's why it's so important you read your word and you pray. That's why it's so important that you walk around like a person of influence, because you are literally carrying the influence of the God who rules and reigns everything. You are carrying his kingdom, his king domain to people. Do you follow me? Am I making sense? You haven't turned me off yet, have you? Are you still with me? Ultimately, we need our domain to be his kingdom. We need our influence to increase the reach of his kingdom. Are we doing that? Or do we have our domain, and then we've partitioned off a small portion, a small section of that to be his kingdom? It would look a little bit like this. Do we have that picture right here? You see what mine is? that's mine. And then there's God's. Is that like how our lives look? We're like, man, we need more. We need more mine. We need more bigger house, new car, new clothes, more friends, more Instagram likes, those little hearts. Need those, more of those things, more of mine. Is this what our domain looks like? This huge, big, honking thing, but God's got a small, little, partitioned off area. What do you think of this? I think it stinks. I think this doesn't change the world. I think the world has enough Christians like this. We need something different. We need to change our world, all right? This is mine, and God, this is yours. I remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon where they're like, oh, let's split it. Let's split the money. All right, so one for me, one for you, two for me, one for you, three for me. One, y'all didn't ever see that one? That's a little bit how we treat God a little bit, right? Yeah. Well, I know people, man, they get pay raises, and it's like, my goodness, five for me. That's so awesome. One for you. 10 for me, God. You're so good. One for you. 20 for me. Praise the Lord. One for you, God. What is that? That's what this is. And it doesn't change the world. If your domain is growing, but God's isn't, there is something wrong. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, our entire domain should be His. Do you agree with that? Your entire domain ought to be His. I mean, are we the king of this domain, or is God king of this domain? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right? We should desire what the book of Revelation prophesies will happen. Look at this verse, Revelation 11:15. This is going to happen one day. Here it is. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Messiah, and He will reign forever and ever. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord.
Amen.
That ought to be what we're striving to do right now. Somebody say amen in the house of God if that's true. It's absolutely the truth. Can I preach? Y'all, I'll make y'all nervous preaching about y'all. Let me preach to you about preachers real quick. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with preachers that are hungry for a Lamborghini but not hungry for souls to be saved. There's something wrong. There's something wrong if preachers aren't moved by sending the gospel to all the world, but they're really looking for a brand new home all the time. There is something wrong. You listen to me, preachers. That's not your domain. It's God's kingdom. Keep your hands off the money that comes into your church. You keep the hands off that stuff, okay?
Yeah.
All right, see? Don't y'all feel better? I didn't preach at y'all. I preached to preachers. Isn't that good? Here's what you need. You need a growing domain that is given completely to God.
All right.
That your domain, your sphere of influence, you're meeting new people all the time. You are coming into good situations all the time. You are constantly getting promoted right where you are. You are constantly seeing new, God is calling you into new supernatural things. And everywhere you go, it's like you are growing in your sphere of influence. But here's the key. It is not just that your sphere of influence is growing. God's kingdom is growing because every area of your life, you have surrendered it to God. I'll never forget my brother, my adopted brother named Linus, biggest nerd turkey ever, before the Lord saved him. Zero friends. Me. He had 0.75 friends because I don't know. His family had no choice. But then he got filled with the Holy Spirit and God cleaned up his life. And guess what? Everywhere he went, God's influence just opened up doors. It wasn't too long he was more popular than me. All right. His influence just kept growing. And we had to tell him, buddy, be careful. Because you're experiencing things you haven't ever done. Don't you dare think that it's you that's doing it. It's the Lord that's given it to you. And it's all for His glory. Why don't you make sure that you're giving God glory in all this advancement, in all this promotion, and in all this blessing? All right. Is every area of your life given completely to God? I want you to work on that. I'm working on it. I want you to work on it too. All right. If I had time to really dig into this, I would tell you that doesn't mean you spend 100% of your money on homeless people and at your church and at that. That's not what God's asking for. But that you would be completely willing to spend any dollar the way He asks you to. See how that works? All right. We need to enlarge our influence and domain and then give that influence and territory over to our King. So it's no longer our domain, it is His kingdom. If you grow in your influence but do not give that influence over to the King, you are not going to change the world. You've seen enough people grow in stature and power and it just corrupts them, haven't you? It's called Washington, D.C., folks. We've seen it. We're called to change the world, and only God's kingdom can change the world. Let me tell you, God blessed us with a new home this year. That new home, just with the Fluitts living their own life. Woo, we got a new home. Aren't we cool? God's good. High five God, yeah. That doesn't change anybody. But when we surrender our home and we open our home to other people and we bring people in and they feel loved and they feel awesome and we do very spiritual things like watch Star Wars with them and just hang out with them and eat pizza and we have a worship night and then we just, that changes the world. What did that? It's still just a home. It's still just brick and mortar. It's still just wood and laminate flooring. That's what it is. What is it? The difference is it's surrendered. You will not change the world until you surrender your world to the King. All right. God, I want to surrender my world to you. Do you think you can trust Him?
Yeah.
What's keeping you from it? Do you think you can trust Him? Yeah, you can absolutely trust Him. So do it. Do not simply grow in influence. Grow God's kingdom through your growing influence. We pray for success, but do we pray for kingdom success? I want to talk to you about kingdom success real quick. I believe that some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough. I really believe that. I look at some people in this church. Some of you aren't even in the room right now. People I'm thinking about. You are on the edge of an absolute breakthrough. Some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough in your career. Some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough in your finances. Some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough in your homes. Some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough in your spirituality. And God is going to open up new dimensions of His Holy Spirit to you. That I believe that, absolutely. I know that you're about to receive the success you've always dreamed of and worked to receive. I'm not saying that God's just going to give it to you. I'm actually saying you worked for it. You prayed for it. You slaved for it. You studied for it. You're on the edge of that breakthrough. I believe it. There are people in this room. I want to tell you that. I'm excited and believe God is totally behind you. I want to challenge you to be focused on kingdom success. Pray that you will have success. Absolutely. You should pray that. God, I pray that I have success. I don't pray that I will fail. I pray that I will have success. Number one, if you are not praying that you will have success, that is some kind of dumb right there. Can we just get real? That's kind of stupid right there. You've got a pipeline to heaven. If you're not praying that you have success and your children have success and that your spouse has success and that your pastor has success, you're really missing out. Pray that you'll have success. And that you will use this success to change the world. Don't just pray for success, but God, give me wisdom on how to use this influence. I used to pray this. I still pray this every once in a while. I'll pick out a person. I say, God, give me the key to that person's heart. Give me the key to reaching that person. And then, God, I'm going to give that key to you. Your success isn't just for you. It's for the kingdom. Your job promotion, the pay raise, the new house, the new car, the scholarship, the admittance into the college, the recognition, the popularity, the healing, the miracle, the good health, your intelligence, your winning personality, your blessings, they are not just for you. They are for the kingdom. Is your success kingdom success? Turn our success into kingdom success. I want to tell you this. You can't change the world if you are like the world. Say that sentence with me. You can't change the world if you are like the world. The world is coming at us like a fast-paced river current. Have you ever tried to stand in a river? And the higher up on you, the stronger that thing is. Have you ever just tried to stand in the river? You able to do it? No, if it's any kind of river, Kelsey says, sure. No, it's like the Rock of Gibraltar right there. No, that river will move you down. We are constantly hit with hatred, materialism, lust, negative thinking, depression, pride. I want to tell you real quick, that is coming at us like a fast-paced current. What we cannot do is go the direction of the current. Go in the direction of hatred. Go in the direction of lust. Go into the direction of materialistic greed. We cannot do that. But here's something else you can't do. You can't just stand still either. Because if you just try to stand your ground, you're already losing ground as the river pushes you back. Sooner or later, your feet are going to slip out from under you, and down the river you go. I want to tell you, you cannot go the direction of the river, nor can you just stand where you are. In other words, if you are not advancing, you're losing ground. Have you ever tried to stand in that river? It's going to carry you downstream. You can't stand still against the world and maintain your ground. All right. I'm telling you, parents, it's not only hitting you hard, it's hitting your children hard. And you cannot just stand around and wait and see what will happen. You need to be pressing against it. You need to be going against the current. You better be hitting your knees and praying for your children. You better be having talks with your children. You don't just stand there, because sooner or later you'll be knocked back and you'll go, where did this come from? It came from you standing still, or for you going the direction of the current. Stand against it. Go against it. And you listen to me, young people. You better respect your mom and dad who go against the current. You better respect your mom and dad when they tell you what's right, because it's not fun to go against the current. And the world's filled with all kinds of currents that are revolutionarily changing right and wrong right in front of us. You better listen to that mom and dad who have the guts to stand up and say, no, the Word of God says this. The Word of God says that a man should marry a woman, and that's it. That a man is a man, a woman is a woman, that a man dresses like a woman dresses like a woman. Let me tell you, that is not easy to say these days. It is pressing against the current, but we can't stand still on this. We can't go the direction of this thing. We're getting pulled away. Churches have been trying to stand. They need to be advancing the kingdom and the sphere of His influence. I know people are going to hate you. I know people are going to have trouble with you. It can't be helped. What can be helped is you doing the right thing. So go do it. Somebody said, go do it. You're not going to change anything by going with the flow. Our scripture memory verse, Romans 12, we're doing 1 and 2. Here's verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform Don't conform to hate. Don't conform to lust. Don't conform to greed. Be transformed. Do not be like the world. Go change your world. You will never change the world by blending in. You need to speak out. You need to stand up. You need to advance. Jesus asks us to change the world, and that seems impossibly difficult. Can you raise your hand if you think changing the world seems impossibly difficult? If that's true, go ahead and just be honest. That just seems crazy. That seems crazy. I've never been able to even get somebody to go to church. How am I going to change the world? I've never been able to even hold down a job. How am I going to change the world? I've never been able to do these things. How am I going to change the world? All right? My final point today is important. Please listen. Changing the world is easier than you think. Can somebody say that sentence with me? Changing the world is easier than you think. You can change the world with your time. Everybody said time.
Time.
Just a little bit of time, volunteering your time, can change someone's life forever. You and I remember just a moment in time where somebody said something, where somebody did something. That little bit of time, it's like, it's eternal to you. You always go back to that moment. Your life changed because of how someone spent their time. Children in your home, spend time with them. Don't just be in the room with them on your cell phone. Spend quality time with them. It only takes a little bit of time to change someone forever. I remember short conversations that changed my life for good. The first person that told me I could be a musician was not in the church, was not in my home. It was a man that doesn't even believe in the Lord. He came to me and said, "You could be a professional musician. You should go for your dreams."
All
right. I'm so glad he took the time to speak into my life, whereas Christians didn't. Do you have 45 minutes? Could you give someone 45 minutes this week?
Yeah.
Great, because I'm moving again. I'm just kidding. Kidding. But seriously, could you give somebody 45 minutes? Could you carve out of your week 45 minutes? Every other Saturday, we go sing songs and have friendly conversations with Alzheimer patients right here in Plano. It's called Villaggio, and it's 45 minutes. We hold hymnals with them. Most of the time is spent helping somebody get to page 37. No, that's 87. It's 37. Most of the time is spent just like that. Or it's saying, "Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing?" And if you don't remember their name, it's okay. They will not remember that you forgot their name. They're Alzheimer's patients. And 45 minutes with them changes the room every time. You walk into that place, I got to be real with you, it is kind of dark and it's kind of depressing. But I've never left it feeling dark and depressed.
Amen.
Just a little bit of time. Would you give 45 minutes this Saturday? We're meeting there at 10 a.m. Would somebody do it? I would love for you to do it. 45 minutes of care can change someone's life. Guess what? It just might change your life. Some of you have never come to a Villaggio service. A little bit of time could change someone's life, all right? Next, you can change the world with your time. You can change the world with your generosity. Somebody said generosity.
Generosity.
Do you have enough money to change the world? What do you think that looks like? How much money would you need to bring change to the world? Well, you have $5? You have $5? You have $3? I remember once we had a missionary from Haiti come, and he told us about a little vaccine that cost $3 that would have saved a little girl's life, and that they have hundreds of little girls and little boys that have these parasites in them, and they need a $3 vaccine. You got $3? How much money does it take to change the world? How about $5? You got $5? If you've ever thrown $5 in the offering, you've already changed someone's world. I got to tell you. Because all the time, we get calls from people that are like, "I'm really sorry, I don't know who else to call. I haven't eaten in several days and I'm hungry." I'm like, I'm going to take you to the promised land known as In-N-Out Burger. And I'm going to feed you. It costs about $5. And I have never fed somebody a double meat, double cheese, animal style. Oh my. With French fries and a chocolate shake. I have never given somebody that and them not be interested in hearing about the King of my kingdom. Not only did it feed them, I've never given somebody that and them not want me to pray with them because they feel loved and they feel cared for. You got $5? How much would it cost to change an entire city? Sure, Pastor, that's like a one-on-one person. Well, I would argue that a one-on-one person change can change the world, absolutely. But how about changing a city? How much would it cost to change a city? For less than $200, this church right here was able to purchase 2 Wi-Fi antennas that covered all of Cifuentes, Cuba with Wi-Fi, totally free.
All right.
You got $200? Could you help pull up to $200 together? It'll change a city. Pastor Joel Rodriguez will be with us next week. He's the guy, he's the visionary that made that possible. He would tell you that your offering changed his world. How much would it cost to open a medical clinic in another country where people go and meet with a doctor who is also a pastor who will help them get medicine? How much would that cost? Oh my goodness, what would that, $1,000? And this church did it. This church has a clinic in Kathmandu, Nepal, where the pastor, Barnabas Pandit, is a pastor and he's also a medical doctor. And he called us and said, we're partitioning out part of our church to have a medical clinic. We just need medicine. Can you help? And I'm like, oh my gosh, how much is that going to cost? He said, oh, Pastor, it's $1,000. I'm like, $1,000? Yes, put us down. We gave that money. Do you know? Let me tell you. I don't have $1,000. All right. Do you know what $1,000 is? It's $20 a week for a year. Raise your hand if you spend $20 without thinking about it all the time. You spend $20 at the movie. Oh my gosh, we go to the Dollar Theater and, oh my goodness, it's like $50 once you buy everybody popcorn. It's terrible. We spend $20 just eating out junk food. We spend $20 on junk stuff that we buy online. $20 comes and goes so easily. What if you just gave $20 towards something that was life-changing? I think it would change the world. What am I trying to say here? That it is easier to change the world than you think. Just a little bit of generosity, just a little bit of time can immensely change everything. Oh, man, I'm glad to be in a church that changes the world. Are you glad to be in a church that changes the world? How about this? You can change the world with your prayer. Oh, absolutely. The Bible tells us that prayer accomplishes much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does all kinds of things. James 5:16 tells us, there is no telling what can happen if you would pray. How much money does it cost to pray? It takes time. It takes a heart for it. Prayer can change the world. Prayer can bring breakthrough. Prayer can stop spiritual forces of oppression. Prayer can open doors. Prayer can change problems into victories. What if you prayed about your problem people? You know your problem people? Raise your hand. Let's be honest. This is Raise Your Hand Sunday, if you didn't know. That's our new sermon series title. Raise your hand if you have problem people in your life. Don't look at them if you're married to them, especially. Do not do that. Okay, put your hands down. What if you prayed about your problem people and God saved them and they became your greatest ally? You think that could happen? Can anybody name somebody in the Bible that happened? The Apostle Paul. God did that. Prayer does that. It was the prayer of Ananias that caused those scales to fall from his eyes. Are you angry about politics? Have you prayed? Running out of options in your personal life? Have you prayed? Want to see God move like never before? Don't wait for your pastor to get his act together. You start praying. My goodness, I've been in churches all my life that they were like, man, if that pastor would ever get his act together, then we'd really grow this church. That is always the wrong attitude because, number one, your pastor is a person. He'll never get his act completely together. I hate to ruin, somebody's clapping, all right? I hate to ruin your thoughts on that, but you don't have to wait for me to get my act together. Do you think Peter really had his act together? Do you think Paul really had his act together? Come on. John Mark did not have his act together. People did not have their act together, but they prayed. When people pray, miracles happen. And God is able to move in people that don't even have their act together, and miracles flow through them. So what if you prayed?
Yeah, all right.
Prayer can change the world. You can change the world with your voice. I'm really close to closing. Please be with me for just a few more moments. Your voice can change the world. You believe that?
Yeah.
What if you just opened your mouth and gave your story, gave your testimony? Those moments present themselves all the time. What if you just did it? The woman that told me about her husband that passed away, she didn't ask, will you pray for me? I used my voice and said, can I pray for you right now? She used her voice and said, yes.
All right.
Your voice can change the world. You have a voice, say, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good. What if you shared who Jesus is to you and all he has done? What if you shared that with somebody? It would change the world. What if you used your voice to encourage people? Oh, it's one of the best ways to change the world. Good job. I'm proud of you. Right here, Alex. Alex, stand up. Alex is doing really... Alex is a nerd turkey, but he's my favorite nerd turkey in the world. Alex is doing great in school. Alex is catching up in school. He was back behind a few credits. They put him in special placement, and he is blowing it away. He's doing so good, and he's got a job. He just got a job. He's working at 99 Cent Store, and you know what? This guy is so busy. You know where he was yesterday? He came to his church, and he helped put up lights. I'm proud of this dude. I'm proud of this dude. Way to go. Way to go. Way to go. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Alex. You can be seated. That's using your voice to encourage somebody. We have these encouraging things that happen every week called Connect Group. And you could go there and you could share your story. Sometimes the most encouraging thing is to hear that you don't have your act all together and you're and they're like, I'm not the only one. You have no idea how encouraging that is. You could share that at a Connect group. You could talk about a time that you really went through a struggle, but God brought you through it. You could use your voice. It is so encouraging. Have you been to a Connect group? There are people in this room. You've never been to a Connect group. We need you there. We need your voice there. We need your story there. We need you to use your voice. It's a way that we can change the world.
Right.
This is something that's supposed to be happening in the church. The voice of the pastor usually is the only voice in a church, and that is dead wrong. Every one of you have a voice. It should be happening in our small group ministries. It should be happening in the lobby. It should be happening on cell phones. It should be happening sitting across kitchen tables. It should be happening while you're riding the dart. It should be happening all the time. Use your voice. It's not hard. It's easier than you think. Just use your voice. Watch the world change. You can talk about the latest movie, can't you? Oh, yeah, we're good at that. Or the latest restaurant we went to. Absolutely. You can talk about something that happened anywhere else. Can you use your voice for the King's domain? Could you? And last, I want to tell you this. Review. You can change the world with your time. You can change it with your generosity. You can change it with your prayer. You can change it with your voice. This is the last thing I'm going to say. You can change the world with your heart. You know that part of you that feels the pull to help someone you don't even know? It's not your brain, because your brain's going, no, we got to be somewhere. You only have so much money in your wallet. You're awkward, and this is awkward, and it's weird. And that's what your brain's screaming. But you got this heart that says, that person looks really sad. Have you ever felt that? You've been like in a restaurant, and you look over, and you see somebody that's sad, and you feel something that was not your brain. That was your heart. And I would tell you, it was God at work in your heart. And if you could let God stir up your heart, it will take you to places that you never thought you'd go. You might walk across that restaurant with the heart stirred up and say, hey, are you okay? What's going on? You might drive by somebody and say, I keep running into that person. I need to talk to them. Some of you've heard about Pastor Joel Rodriguez, Pastor Tony Fraley coming in the next 2 weeks. Maybe you had that heart pull. I really need to do something. I really need to give them something. I really need to pray. I really need to get to changing my world. That's the heart. God can do stuff in your heart that no sermon can do. God does stuff in your heart no worship team can do. It's God moving in your heart. Your heart can change the world. Your heart can change the world. Somebody say, your heart can change the world.
Your heart can change the world.
It's God that moves on our heart. And when He moves on our heart, He brings out the best in us. He brings out love in us. That's not normal in today's world. It brings out His kingdom in us.
Right.
I wonder, as we're closing today, anybody want to invite God to stir up their heart and to send them out to change the world? It's easier than you think. Why don't you come pray right now? I want people to pray in this altar. If you want special prayer, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. Everybody that's watching online, Facebook, podcast, I want to tell you, God's right there with you, and you're called to do mighty, powerful things. The Lord that can do all of this, He's in the room right now with you. Why don't you reach out to Him? Why don't you get a hold of Him right now? Father, in Jesus' name, change our world, God. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that my sphere of influence would grow and that my sphere of influence would be Your kingdom. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would use my voice and that You would stir up my heart and that You would move in me with generosity, and that You would take the time that I have, and that You would take the giftings that I have. You would take all these things, Jesus, my voice and my story, and that You would get glory from it, and that it would help people all over this house. Let's talk to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Prayer changes the world. You are called to change the world right now. Talk to the Lord in this place. Father, meet every need. In Jesus' name. Come on, I want to pray with people today. I want to see lives changed. I believe.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.